Parshim on Mizmach Chafal, very hard time preparing. Was not able to find in this Mizmar all that much. So we are in the middle. The Mizmar, we spent a lot of time in the beginning. We did do that. A lot of time in the beginning describing this Mizmar with the Radak and how it refers to the Notrim, that don't go down that path of learning, referring to the Melech HaMashiach. Once you start mentioning that it refers to the Melech HaMashiach, page 184, the Mizmar begins on page 184. We already did a couple of sukkim. We're going to start saying okay with pasuk vav. I believe we're up to pasuk vav. We'll do pasuk hay again just for a moment. Pasuk hay, page 186. Mizmar chaf aleph pasuk hay on page 186 in the art scroll edition of Psalms. Hebrew version only, which is sponsored by the Department of Transportation, the DOT. DOTS. We have DOTS. DOTS. We have the BADOTS. The BADOTS also, they participate in the BADOTS. Is it LIBADOTS or BADOTS, like LOMER or BAOMER? So we have over here the BADOTS. Mayor, welcome Mayor Appledorf to the Shir. Where is your better half? Oh yeah, are you a fool, Shalem? Please send her our best regards.
Anyway, I'm Hamid Shalva.
Okay.
You are.
Please send her our best. She should be gezunt. All right. In honor of her, we have the pasuk. They tell that in honor of her, we have this pasuk. Chayim shal nimcha nasata loy life.
By the way, isn't that long a title or something?
They sing it, they like what they sing.
They say, Yamim Ali.
If I'm not mistaken, I remember I looked it up before Yom Kippur, but Chayim Shal, I think, is the Zohar or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
You never heard that title?
Chayim Shal? No. I don't know anything. I'm not a Yudea Sefer.
I'll look it up again.
Okay, Chaim Shah. Now this pasuk, we're going over here. We'll go with him for Hashem. We're just going to go through really the basic stuff. But this pasuk, we assume that we learn these pasukim reference to the Melech Mashiach. There are two kings of Mashiach. There's Melech Mashiach ben David, and Mashiach ben Yosef, to be followed by Mashiach ben David. There's a Mashiach that will come from the family of Yosef. He will lead the way. He will introduce Geula, to be followed by Mashiach ben David. We really don't know what things are about. These are very mystical concepts. The Rambam says, do not spend much time on this, delving into these matters, because no one really knows what these things mean. Yeah. And when they will happen, in hindsight, we'll be able to reflect, look back, and understand. But it's not something that it's worthy that we should delve into. But there are a little bit of tips here and there. And one of the things that Chazal says is that there is some illusion that the Mashiach ben Yosef will arrive on the scene first. He'll be more of a political leader, more of a type of Mashiach, a military and political leader. And he will engage in battles. And he will be killed. He will die. And there will be a eulogy that will be a very, very very big eulogy in his honor. Shalom Aleichem of Mordechai.
Yeah, so it is a sefer written by the Chidah.
Oh, by the Chidah, one of his sefarim. Okay, the Chidah wrote many, many sefarim. One of the most colorful personalities in the Jewish people was the Chidah. The most prolific, in fact. One of the most prolific personalities. He lived during a very interesting time when he really got to see the old and the new. But anyway, Rabbi Chaim did this tikkun over here. The Melech Mashiach, the Melech Mashiach is going to be killed, and then when the Melech Mashiach is going to be killed, the Mashiach ben David is going to get nervous, and he also may be killed. Mashiach ben David will come after Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben David will be afraid that he will suffer the same fate as the Mashiach ben Yosef. And therefore, he will be mispalel to Hashem for life. Chayim Shoal Mimcha Nosatul Chayim. Who's speaking? The speaker here is the Melech Mashiach. He is asking for life. He asks from you, Nosatuloi. Hashem, you have granted him this blessing of life. Oyrech Yamim, you have granted not just life, length of days, Oylam Vo'ed, forever and ever. We all know, and we mentioned this before, last week, before Pesach, is that there is Arichas Yamim, and there is Arichas Shanim. And there's also something called Oylam Vo'ed. Let's see what it says here in the Mitzudos, David Pasik. Hey, Pasik says, Chaim, on page 186, Chaim Shual Amu Razal Kasher Yireh Mashiach Ben David Shenerag Mashiach Ben Yosef Yishal Oz Al Chaim Yashem Yavtichoi Olav. When Mashiach Ben David will witness the death of Mashiach Ben Yosef, he will pray to Hashem that he should not suffer the same fate, and Hashem will grant him. It is interesting that a person doesn't appreciate what he has until he loses it. Take for all this the lesson of life is that we just don't appreciate what we have. Rechman Lassan, we no longer have it. Then we really begin to appreciate. How come the Mashiach Ben David didn't ask Hashem for life from the very beginning? Mashiach Ben David wants to live to accomplish his mission. He didn't appreciate Mashiach life. But when he saw what it means to die, when his counterpart, Mashiach Ben Yosef, was killed and no longer had the blessing of life, then all of a sudden life had a whole different meaning to him, and he asked for life. It's a very great tragedy that even in times of Mashiach, the Mashiach Ben David has to be inspired to ask for life only because he witnesses the loss of life.
Can we explain why there needs to be a Mashiach Ben Yosef?
No, I don't know why. I don't know why, how all this works. We need, it's a process. One thing is clear as day. They teach us in Yeshiva Ketana that Mashiach is going to come keheref ayin. Right? We just one day going to wake up, going about doing our mundane activities, and then all of a sudden we get a phone call. Guess what? Did you hear the news? Mashiach is here. There's a white donkey. Someone is walking around, someone's riding on a white donkey in Yerushalayim, and Mashiach is here. And all of a sudden, what happens? All the problems, and all of a sudden, every problem you can imagine goes away. Every problem goes away. That's what they teach us in kindergarten. And unfortunately, some people never grow up, and they live with that concept from kindergarten because a child doesn't understand any better. But if you get a little bit older and you study, you learn more, it doesn't seem that's the way it's going to be. It seems that Mashiach is a very long, complex process, which has already been going on for 2,000 years plus, 2,500 years. It's a very long, complex process of how Hashem brings the world to a state of perfection. L'sakein oylam b'malchu shakai. L'sakein with a chof, not with a kuf. It's not to fix. It's to culminate. A culmination of malchu shakai. L'sakein with a kuf means to fix. In all of our siddurim in Oleinu, it says the word l'sakein with a kuf. Tikkun olam. Unfortunately, by Achein B'nai Yisrael, who are not yet religious, totally, they have this concept called Tikkun Olam, to fix the world. There's no such thing. It's a printer's mistake. It's not Tikkun. The world doesn't need to be fixed. The world needs to culminate.
They don't want to say the two words.
Exactly.
The Malchus Shakai,
yeah,
in the Malchus of Hashem, in their own Malchus, in their own pleasure. L'sakein Olam, it's not with a kuf, it's with a chaf. And what does it mean with the chaf? L'sakein. L'sakein means like kol. Miloshim kol, everything. It is a culmination. It is where everything comes together to achieve a goal, a purpose. It's a process. L'sakein, tikkun olam with a chaf, now with a kuf, is a process that culminates in Hashem's revelation, and that involves different stages. And one stage is a stage called Mashiach ben Yosef, and another stage Mashiach ben David. I always play with you, and I always toy with this idea, is that Mashiach, what's going to happen is we're only going to know about Mashiach in hindsight. Who says it's going to be the Mashiach's going to come? Oh, here he is. Shalom Aleichem. No, that has to be because that's our emunah. But there's also an element is that you look back and you'll realize, you know, he was Mashiach. What he has done, what a certain people have accomplished in this world, are so magnificent, have had so much power. They were Mashiach. Now, how many Mashiachim were there? Only one Mashiach, two Mashiachs. Who says it has to be there's only one Mashiach? There are certain people who have had such an impact in this world they were the Mashiach. Obviously, at the end of days is going to be another Mashiach. That's going to be, you know, the Mashiach. But all of the people in history who have a kalush, like Stephen Przanski Shlita, he had a fascinating, I think he did another series. I'm totally not into this anymore. I don't have too much time for this anymore. But he used to have this. What?
Yeah.
I think he did. He retire?
Yes.
He left. He's no longer there in Tinek. He's gone.
I know he's definitely retired.
A rabbi never retires. A rabbi Yevsky. Does a rabbi ever retire? Never. There's no such thing as a rabbi retiring. No such thing. You never retire. A rabbi, once a rabbi, you're always a rabbi. No such thing. You may not just get the salary anymore, but a rabbi is a rabbi. He once had a series. This is a fantastic series called Centurions? How do you remember? Centurions? Century. A century.
Oh.
A century. How do you say that? How do you say that?
Centennial.
No, not centennial.
Old guy.
Centurions.
No,
what?
No.
Centurions. Is that a real word?
Centurions.
It's a real word?
Soldiers.
No, he played not as an S. A century with an S.
Yes.
No, I'm talking. I don't know. If it's a real word.
No.
It's a real word.
Yes.
And how do you spell it?
Centurion.
With a C.
Yes.
And how do you pronounce it?
How
do you pronounce it?
Word. Centurion.
You're talking about
the person.
We don't know what you're.
The person of the century. I'm referring to the person. The person.
Centenarian.
That's not how he pronounced it. Centenarian. That's not what he pronounced it. That's
American
not the way he pronounced it. I think he made a.
Over Pesach.
You met him?
This neighborhood. We met a man 100 years old.
Yeah. There's a guy, he comes here every day. He's 99
Mary
years old. There's a guy who comes here every single day. I meet him 99 years old. He's 99 years old. Boy, does he give me the business, this guy? He has more energy than all of us put together. he once died by us. He made such a scene by us. This guy, unbelievable. This guy has koyach, baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Be gesund. But I'm not sure if he made up this word, but it basically means the man of the century. The man of the century, referring to a Jewish leader. And you know, he's the pick. He went through 20 centuries, and he went through each century. He selected a person he wants to speak about, and it was his opinion who he felt had the greatest impact on that era, those 100 years. It's all his opinion. And he called these people, I don't know if it was a real word, I never looked it up, the real word, but he called it something related to the word a century, and he would play on the word to mean the man of the century, the Jewish figure. No such, okay, so he made it up. It was his word, he made it up. I always wondered if he made it up. But he selected certain people who were very influential. These people were Mashiach. These people were the nitzitz of Mashiach. When we look back and see what they accomplished, their accomplishments have changed the world. You're not going to say that the Chofetz Chaim didn't change the world. You're not going to say that someone like Bernard Revel didn't change the world. No, you're not. They say they whitewash everything today. No? You're not going to go say the Chassam Sofer changed the world. You're not going to say Rashi didn't change the world. Mm-hmm. You're not going to say the Rambam. He went through every era, and he picked people that, in hindsight, when you look back, it's a different world because of these people. These people have changed. These people, in hindsight, were Mashiach of their generation. Now, it didn't come to fruition. It didn't blossom that the world has achieved the state of Tikkun Olam. You know, the world is finished. But everyone contributes in their way to the ultimate goal. In any event, over here we have the Melech HaMashiach. This is a very frightening passage. The Melech HaMashiach over here, and this Mashiach ben David, he's going to study Mashiach ben Yosef. He's going to witness that he died, and he's going to be Mavakish life. Rashi, Pasuk Hey says, "Hachaim Shalom Emcha, Ki Shalisi Borech Lechutz Lorit." Now Rashi is Lushito Asoi. Rashi does not want to say that this refers to Melech HaMashiach, because Rashi knows that you're going to start up, you're going to wake up a sleepy lion. You're going to start up with the notes rim, and you don't want Rashi. Like I told you, it's very bizarre. Rashi, in the very beginning of this Mizmar, Rashi made a statement, I don't want to go that down that path. I don't want to go, I want to refer over here to David Melech Yisrael. Rashi says, Chaim Shalom Amuchal, Kisha Yisi Berechim Lechutz Lerz Levnei Shol, Ha Yisi Mispal Asalech Lefnei Hashem, the Aritzas Lachayim, that's the end of Tehillim. And David over here sings this incredible interpretation that David HaMelech Yanali flee Eretz Yisrael. There will be a lot of Gedol who never left Eretz Yisrael. The Panovich Arav, he left Eretz Yisrael to collect money. So someone once asked him, you're not allowed to. How is someone of your stature allowed to leave the Holy Land? Many Gedolim, they never left Eretz Yisrael. So he says, you're allowed to leave. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael l'tal matoy. If you're going to learn better, if you have a Rebbe who you're going to be able to learn from, Chutz L'Aretz, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz L'Aretz. Kol Shekein, how much more so, he said, are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael in order to raise money to enable other people to learn Torah? He would travel the world to squeeze out a dollar here, a dollar there, to build Panovich, in order to enable Talmidim after the war to have a place to learn Torah. So here, David HaMelech, he left Eretz Yisrael. He left Eretz Yisrael because he was afraid for his life. And he said, and look at this. When he left Eretz Yisrael, it was an incredible Rashi. Rashi was coming to make a connection of what it means, Chayim. The Chayim of this Pasuk K refers to Eretz Yisrael. David says, I want to return. I want to return back to the Holy Land. That's seemingly how Rashi learned Pshat in the Pasuk. David, according to what we learned in the Mitzvah, David and the Medrash, this Pasuk refers to the Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach ben David. And Mashiach ben David, when he witnesses Mashiach ben Yosef, when he witnesses his death, so Mashiach ben David, he just wants life. I want my heart to beat, a pulse. Hashem, give me a pulse. I should be alive. Rashi says, not what he means. We're now referring to Melech HaMashiach, we're referring to David HaMelech, and we're now referring to a pulse. David's going to live. We're referring to the ability to live in the Holy Land, to return back to Eretz Yisrael. How do you know this? Es haleich lefnei Hashem bi'artzois hachayim. May I walk before Hashem in the land of life. This is an expression referring to Eretz Yisrael. David, when he left Eretz Yisrael, he was mevakish to return to the Eretz HaChayim. Nasataloi shehashivoisani le'Eretz Yisrael. He returned to Eretz Yisrael. Once over here, let me tell you over here, Joshua. I heard the last day, Ni'ilas Achag. It was still called Ni'ilas Achag. What does it say? What do we say when we finish? The Seder. Chasal Seder Pesach Kehil Chosay. And you go weiter. L'shana Haboah B'Yerushalayim. You say L'shana Haboah. Let's make it the L'ra. Next year. Haboah means this year. Haboah. Let's for the moment assume it's Haboah. Next year in Jerusalem. Question. In the beginning of the Haggadah, Ha lach ma'anya di'achol avasa di'arad in Chaim kol dichvin yesev yechol kol ditzrich yesev yisach hashata hacha l'shona habo'o ba'ara di'yisroel. So why do you say it twice? Why do you say l'shona habo'o b'yushaloyim? And again, really before, in the beginning of the Haggadah, l'shona habo'o ba'ara di'yisroel. Repetitious. The answer, it's not repetitious. It's two different statements. There's Lashon HaBo Be'ara Di'Yushalayim, and the other is Eretz Yisrael. What is the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim? So to this we go to Dayenu, Ilu Nosan Lanu Es HaTorah V'loy Hichnisanu le'Eretz Yisrael. Torah, after Torah comes Eretz Yisrael. at the end, v'nasan lanu es beis ha-bechira, when you summarize the entire Dayenu, v'bana lanu beis ha-bechira, l'chaper al kol avoynoi seino. What follows building the Beis HaBechira? The Beis HaBechira is the Beis HaMikdash, which is in Yerushalayim. Okay, I'm going to assume it's all the same thing. Yerushalayim is the place of the Beis HaMikdash. L'chaper al kol avoynoi seino. Here you learn incredible insight. The Iker Tafkid of the Beis HaMikdash, and not just the Beis HaMikdash, it's the entire, it's, you call it? Okay, one sec. We have some climate control issues.
It's a
fair
that's put on 69.
Drink your coffee.
Make sure the door is open.
It's too hot. No, it's too cold. I'll get that on the
very strong draft, very powerful wind that comes through that alley in here over here. Okay, so what's the difference? What is the difference between Lashon Haba and Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is where there's the Beis HaMikdash. What do you do in the Beis HaMikdash? You're doing Korbanos. What is the purpose of Korbanos? Tahara, Kapara, even a carbon oil is Mechaper on an Aver. The Gemara says in a bit of Mitzvah Saseh, or even Hirhurim, thoughts, the carbon oil is Mechaper. Every carbon provides atonement for sin. What is Eretz Yisrael all about? It's not about sin. It's about how to live. Ilu nosan lanu es haTorah, v'loy hichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael dayenu. So what's the maila? But Hashem gave us both. Hashem gave us the Torah, and He also gave us Eretz Yisrael. What's the connection? Because Eretz Yisrael is the ideal makom to live the Torah, to do Torah. Torah means instruction. It means actual fulfillment of the Torah. That's what Eretz, when you mispala l'shon haba ba'ara di Yisrael, you're not being mispala that next year I should be clean from sin. Forget about that. Who cares about that? What you're focusing on is I should have opportunity to actually live a life of Torah. To live a life of Torah and to learn Torah, to be involved in Torah. The Beis HaMikdash, its primary function is not to do Torah, it's atonement for Averos. It's an entirely different concept. So therefore, here, according to Rashi will be saying something that is very, very fascinating. Chayim sho'al mimcha nosat oloi. David HaMelech is asking, I want to return to Eretz Yisrael. The word chayim in this pasuk is a code word for es halech lefnei Hashem bi'artzoi sachayim. I want to live a life of Torah. Atonement? Listen, no one's perfect. Atonement? That's not what we're focusing on. You can't expect that to be cleansed from sin. Okay, so this is a very powerful Rashi. Next, Orech Yomim Lemalchus. They only once Orech Yomim Lemalchus. Shemarti v'achinoisi es kisi mamlachta ad oyla. So this is another very interesting insight. Rashi, Orech Yomim, Rashi learns, represents Malchus. Okay, David was the Melech, obviously, but you know it's interesting because we said it a few times, this concept is Arichas Yomim and Arichas Shonim. What's the chiluk? Okay, so the basic answer is years. There are people who have a zeichet arich hashem. What do you accomplish? No, you accomplish whatever you accomplished. And then there are people that are zeichet arich hashyamim. Every single day, they accomplish what takes other people years to accomplish, they accomplish in a very, very short period. So the Rahman al-Litzlan, you hear a young person pass away, so they say he did not have Arich HaShanim. But what he accomplished in the few years that he was in this world was shakal what other people would take decades to accomplish. Arichas Yomim. You hear that, unfortunately, on Shavuos, that I was listening to someone else's conversation, and he was talking about his person's brother. And he said his brother passed away, he was 49 years old. And he said that, you know, and his brother was very sick for about 2 years. He was sick for 2 years, the last 2 years. And this older brother said, I was metapel with him. I really spent those last 2 years taking care of him to a very significant degree. And then he passed away, and really, it ate me up. It really got to me. And he was talking to someone, and the person, he said to him, how old was he? He said he was 49 years old. So he said to him, oh, Sheva Shabbosois Tenimos. He had a life of Tenimos. 7 times 7 is 49. So he said, he doesn't know why. Somehow when that person said to him that statement, it gave him a degree of nechama. Tenimos. So people, this is the common idea. Now I want to suggest to you, drush, that if over here, David the Rashi says when it says arich hashanim, you have to understand how does that refer to arich hashanim, is malchus. Every person, to a degree, is a melech. The part Chazal, kol bnei Yisrael melachim. The whole halacha on Shabbos, are you allowed to go do certain things? Are you allowed to go in muksa and different things in cholamoy? I don't remember all the details, but there are certain things that you only can do if you're accustomed to doing it. If you're not accustomed to doing certain things, then you're not allowed to. But when it comes to, there's another opinion, I don't remember all the details of the Gemara. No! If a melech behaves this way, everyone in Klal Yisrael, even though it's not ordinary, it's not common for them to behave in such a way, they're entitled. You know why they're entitled? Kol bnei Yisrael melachim. Every single Jew is a melech. And a melech, what does it mean to be a melech? Whatever it means. You're the boss. you get to push people around. One of the greatest pleasures in life is control. To control people. Go look what's going on in the world of politics. The human condition is such a need to push people around and tell them what to do and control people. There's a certain hana. Obviously, I'm just joking around with you. Don't abuse it. Don't abuse. Power corrupts absolutely. Okay, but it's not funny, but because unfortunately today we abuse power, but there is such a blessing. There is a blessing in this world to be a melech and not an eved. There's a blessing. No one wants to be an eved. When you wish for the brach leman yarichun yomech, you know what that means? It means malchus. A person should have. Even if you accomplish nothing, just not to be a slave, not to be meshuvah to somebody else. You give a person the bracha, arich hashanim, you should live to 120 years old at least, and arich hashyamim. Besides the common pshat, every day counts. Not everyone is able to make every day count, but at least during the days that you're alive, you should not be dependent. You should be able to be a giver. You should be independent. Arichas yomim, Rashi here teaches to mean malchus. Now obviously you'll tell me referring to David HaMelech, but you know, Tehillim is written for every man. Every man is a king in his own home. And if your whole life you're supported by somebody, I mean, you're totally where your next dollar comes from, that is not fun. You wish a person, oyrech yomim, oylom voed, unbelievable Rashi, Lemalchusi. Shuamarta, you said Vachinosi is Kitse Mamakha ad Oila. Okay, Pasik, let's go to Pasik Vav. Pasik Vav, Godel Kvode Bishua Sechahoy Vodo Tishave Ola. Godel Kvode, his honor is great through your salvation. Hoyd Vahoda. It sounds like Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Hoyd and Hoda. Beauty and splendor, Tishave Ola, you will set upon him. Mitzvah Stav Pasik Vav. The Mitzvah is here, Bishua Sech, Al Yidei Yishuaska Yitzkadel Kvodo. The Mitzvah Stav Lushita Sar refers to Melech HaMashiach, that the Melech HaMashiach will achieve honor. That this was the Haftorah. It's very interesting. We're learning this today. What was the Haftorah of Acharoi Nishol Pesach? Melech HaMashiach. The Yotzo Choyter Geze Yishoi. All the beautiful things about the Harichoi Biyiras Hashem, V'loi, Afkarol of Sukkim. It's such beautiful, beautiful Sukkim. You have the most beautiful Perek in Yeshaya, Perek Yud, describing all of the attributes of the Melech HaMashiach. And here we're learning about an entire Mizmar dedicated, and these go together. You have to appreciate that David was a Navi, and Yeshaya was a Navi, and Yirmiyah and Yecheskel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them a snapshot. He showed them a video clip of Yemos HaMashiach. And each one of them in their own way saw the same thing. Hashem showed David, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Zechariah, also the Mashiach, and all the other Nevi'im. He showed them the same thing. And each one came back. What did you see? And everyone gives you a different report. Can't everyone go to the same hotel for Pesach? What happened in the hotel? What did you see? Rabbi Chol comes back and he tells me about all the speakers, all of the Chiddushei Torah. Someone who went to the same hotel comes back and tells me about the food. Someone else comes back and he tells me about the entertainment. Someone else comes back and tells me about the bed bugs. Everyone comes back and has something. It's the same exact experience, but everyone has a different neshama, and what they focus on is unique. David HaMelech here is giving you an entire mizmar dedicated to what he saw about the Melech HaMashiach. Yeshaya gave you a different techunas hanefesh of what was important to him. Ring by the Chaim Kanievsky, all these haspedim, nothing mattered to him. He had no other interest in life. It's not that it just didn't, things, just many things didn't interest him. He just was not interested in knowing what's going on. And Adkadekach, someone was mass, he says that he was every day he was misspelled, he claims, I don't know who knows this, he was misspelled that he should forget everything that people told him. During Kabbalah's Kahal, when people came to speak, people came, they opened up the doors, people came, they lined up around the block, and they would tell him unbelievable things. Tzaras. Tzaras galore. Everyone came with a peckle of tzaras. When it was over, he went to Mincha, and he was Mispala, Lomar. He should forget everything that came into his head. Why? For two reasons. Number one, it'll go out of his mind. It'll go out of his mind, think about all the tzaras. Number two, if he'll focus on all of these things, he'll forget his learning. His mind is limited to how much information it can contain. He'll fill his head up with all of these things. Then he's not going to be able to contain in his head Chidushei Torah. That's what mattered to him. That was what he wanted to know. That's what mattered to him. Okay, I want you to two gedolim Yisrael. Each one of them had over 100. Probably hundreds of great grandchildren. One of them knew the name of every single great grandchild and their wives' names. You know, the whole every single one. He knew their name. He knew the name of their mother, their father. In an instant, he can tell you everyone and what they're doing. And the other gadol, we don't even know if he even knew the name of his own children. What's the difference? Is it because the one that didn't even know the name of his own children is because he wasn't so smart? Obviously, he was very, very smart. The proof is in the pudding. What he produced, the Chiddush Torah that he produced, is mind-boggling. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, it didn't matter to him. He just had no interest. He had no interest. It wasn't important to him, so he didn't know. The other gadol, he's tchuna sanefesh. This is what he wanted to know. Here we're painting a portrait of the Melech HaMashiach. David HaMelech is painting a portrait. He sees the same exact vision as Yeshaya. Yeshaya, Perek Yud, Acharon Shel Pesach, has a very different picture. It's painting a very different portrait. But they saw exactly the same thing. It's because each one had a different tachunas hanefesh of what was important to him, what mattered, and that's what he wanted to describe. Here, David says, Gadol Kivoidon. Now, Yeshai also mentions, V'hoyo Menucha Soy Kavoid. V'hoyo Menucha Soy Kavoid. That's a very different way of describing Kavoid. The way David describes Kavoid is not the way Yeshai describes Kavoid. David describes the Kavod of the Melech HaMashiach as Menucha. V'hoya Menucha Soy Kavoid. And here he talks to the Melech HaMashiach, Godol Kivoidoi Bishua Secha. Hoid V'hodor Teshave Allah. It's interesting. You learn more about David when you learn about the Melech HaMashiach. When you want to contrast David with Yeshaya and the other Nevi'im, when they describe the Melech HaMashiach, you think they're describing the Melech HaMashiach? They're really describing themselves. Because if this is what they want to focus on, so if this is the only vision, it's all we got. The only portrait, the only video clip of the Melech HaMashiach is from David. Okay, so David is talking about the Melech HaMashiach. But now, guess what? You got competition.
So what you're saying there, everyone projects
themselves.
Yes,
absolutely.
Similarly, with the names of Mashiach.
Excellent, exactly. Everyone that gives them a name, they're projecting themselves onto Mashiach.
Because the names they suggest are similar to their own names.
Exactly, exactly. Everyone is projecting. Yeah, there's a Negias. That's on portraits. Okay? What? Yinoim, Menachem.
There are five, I think. And they all are similar to the person who suggested.
Everyone is really describing themselves. They're superimposing themselves, their needs upon the Melech HaMashiach. If you only had this Mizmar, so you would say, no, David is giving you an accurate description of the Melech HaMashiach. But when you go and you look at all of the other Nevi'im, who also painted a portrait of the Melech HaMashiach, and you see they describe it in very different ways, obviously what do you discover? That every one of the Nevi'im is really describing himself. He's describing himself through the Melech HaMashiach.
You can say then that Mashiach is a kind of every man.
Yes.
That everyone can identify with in
some fashion. Esther Yirak Rakoisa.
Very similar.
The spectrum of colors, which is in the center?
Green.
That's why, how you know that today? Zoom. You have a green screen. Rabbi Mayaski, when you have your virtual background, it's no good. You need a green screen. You need a green, or the green screen is, you can buy an Amazon for $15. I helped someone set it up. Someone had to do a very important, Zoom meeting, and he didn't want to have any background because he was embarrassed of the background. So he had to get a green screen. For $15 on Amazon, it does wonders. It does wonders.
What?
Every main concept, green. Esther Yirak HaKoisa, green. But you learn over here in the Melech HaMashiach, look how they describe. Godol Kivoidoi, Bishua Asar. Only 2-3 days ago we read, V'hoisa Menucha Soy Kovoi. Obviously, there's a very big world of a difference in describing what is Kovoi to you. What is the purpose of Kovoi? David says Kovoi is salvation. It's Hoid V'hoda. Yeshaya looked at Kovoi as Menucha. Now, what is that? I understand words. I don't know what these are, but obviously you're really describing yourself more than you are describing your subject. Okay, let's go further. Let's see over here Rashi. Rashi and Pasuk above, right? Tishaveh. What is the word Tishaveh? That means to set. Menachem Pasar Tishaveh Tosim. The word Tishaveh means to set in place. Toshis. Lishoin. echad lohem, to be one with them, to be together, to be
set in place.
So therefore, Hashem is going to hoid v'hadar. The Melech HaMashiach will be one with splendor and with majesty. Pasuk Zayin, ki tishiseu v'rochais lo'ad. Now the word tishiseu also means to set. Okay, also it's very similar to the word tishave. I don't know the difference. You will set upon the Melech HaMashiach v'rochais, or upon David HaMelech v'rochais, blessings lo'ad, forever. Tichadeu v'simcha esponach. The word tichadeu means also means. Okay, let's listen to the different translations. Let's listen to the David. Mitzuda David pasuk zayin. Pasuk zayin ki sishi seim tosim. You notice he used the same exact word over here. Tosim to set. Oisai le'olam librach. Okay, I call yivaruch uvay leimar sheya kamahu. And this is an amazing thing what he says over here. This is really. This is over the top. What does it mean, bracha? The ultimate bracha is, I want to emulate you. Many times you go to gedolim, and you bring your children, you bring your grandchildren. Do you really want your children to be like him? That's the litmus test. Real bracha, a person who is blessed, is a person that you can honestly say, I want to be you. Now, you don't want to be you because, every person in this world has a different tafkid. Everyone has a different tafkid in this world. But if you're the model of what you want to be, that success. You can go to a concert and there are thousands of people jumping up and down and worshiping the celebrity who is performing. Do you want your children to be like him? Do you really want that? Do you want your child to grow up and be like him? To be this person? To be this celebrity? The answer is yes, you're in a lot of trouble. Okay? When you go to a gadol, do you want your child to be just like this gadol? Sometimes the answer is no. We're just going to the gadol because a chalom hayom trip. We got to go somewhere. So we'll go, a photo op, put on the wall. Right, it's a good opportunity. Do you really want your child to be like this person? If the answer is no, then that's not bracha. That person is something missing. If you reach a matzav where you can really say, I want to be you. I want to be you. Not you, okay? I don't want to be a clone of you, but I want to be like that type of person. That is the ultimate bracha. And who says this? The Mitzvah says this. It's a very profound idea. He reads it. Ki sishi seu v'rochais lo'ad. Mitzvah. Tosim oisal le'olam livracha. What is the bracha? Ki ha'kol. You don't have to add these words. The Mitzvah David over here is doing something he ordinarily does not do. Ordinarily he just gives you the translation. Over here he's injecting over here a very deep concept. Ki ha'kol yivorchu bo le'mo. Everyone will bless this individual, Melech HaMashiach, Sheyihyeh Kamoyhu. May, when you want to give a bracha to somebody, you say to that person, you should be like him. That is pretty, pretty good. A barrel of wine. What is success in life? Success in life is if your grandparents and your grandchildren can both be proud of who you are. If your grandparents can look down and say, my grandchild is a success, I'm proud of my grandchild, and your grandchildren have values where they can look up and say about their grandfather, I'm proud of my grandfather, I want to be just like him, that is real success. Because that means you're following in the Messiah of your grandparents, and you have instilled in your grandchildren the values that are meaningful from your grandparents, that they are proud that you are their grandparent. They don't look back at their grandparent and say, oh, he's from the old world, he's a monkey, he's old fashioned, he's not part of the new world, of the new way of doing things. If they can look back on you and they can say, I'm proud that he was my grandfather, and your grandparents are proud that you are their grandchild, That is true success in life. And that's what it says over here. Everyone's going to bless Shakol. I'm going to read this homiletically. Hakol means, who's the Hakol? The grandfather and the grandchildren. Shakol yivaruchu bo lemar sheyia kamohu. Ah, that's who I want to be. That is the altar brach. That's what Melech HaMashiach is going to achieve. Next words, tichadeu. This is a hard word. He learns, vayichad yisroi. Yichad means to rejoice. Chedva. Miloshim Chedva. Tichadeu v'simcha. So over here it's like compounding the word joy. Yeah, you have a repetition of the word joy. Simcha and Chedva are two words which mean the same thing. When you compound these two words, it means an intense degree of joy. Es panecha, in your presence. Mitzudos. Tisamchai b'simcha asriyas panecha. You will give him joy in witnessing your face. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal himself. When Mashiach will come, Mashiach, what is the purpose of Mashiach? See, this is another very time. Mashiach, we don't appreciate this because Hashem Shekhinah is not present. Hashem, I shouldn't say that. I don't mean a little like that. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the revelation of Hashem's divine presence is not benigla. When Mashiach will come, Kadosh Baruch Hu will return openly, and the Melech HaMashiach will be the leader in greeting the revelation of Hashem's divine presence. And this will be a very great time of joy. Let us see what it says in the Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav tishadeu. We already pasuk zayin tichadeu loshayn chedva joy es panecha. So here Rashi goes into the real mystical stuff over here. Began Eden. Now this is a little bit difficult because David HaMelech, according to Rashi, Rashi learned everything until now that we are describing David HaMelech. So over here, all of a sudden, David HaMelech is in Gan Eden. David HaMelech died. I don't know. But I was saying to Darshan now, after Rashi finished expounding these psukim in reference to David HaMelech, Rashi now finally caves in and he says, I have to confess that Chazal indeed interpreted this entire mizmar in reference to the Melech HaMashiach. But I was saying to Shadarshun, the Melech HaMashiach, if you were Oyel Adavar, Yad Atik Yoimaya, Mita Ukidomohi, Hak Rivuhi. Now that's the pasuk. The Oimer v'Hikrafte v'Nigesh Eli. So what is it over here? It's quoting pasuk in Daniel, which says the Atik Yoimaya. Who is the Atik Yoimah Hashem? Hashem is called from time immemorial, ancient. Atik means ancient of days. Mita has arrived. Ukidomohi, Hak Rivuhi. Now that means we've approached him. The Kodomohi, I'm not sure what this means over here. The Oimer, the Grafte, the Nigash Elav. You'll bring him near. You'll go near him. It's referring to the Melech. The Melech HaMashiach will greet him. Greeting. The words over here, Ukidomohi, Hakri Vuhu, it's an expression which means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrive, when he will return to this world, his divine presence, the revelation, the open revelation of his divine presence, the Melech HaMashiach will go near him to greet him, and he will lead the Jewish people in this Shalom Aleichem. So if that's the way it's described regarding the Melech HaMashiach in Sefer Daniel, no one disagrees. In Sefer Daniel, everyone agrees that this pasuk refers to Mashiach, the Melech HaMashiach, who is going to greet Hashem. Hashem here is called the Atik Yomaya, Ukidomohi Hak Rivuhi, and it's an expression, two words which really mean the same thing, and the Melech HaMashiach will greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it brings another pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which also is describing the Melech HaMashiach, that the Melech HaMashiach will greet the Divine Presence. And now, we go to this pasuk here in Sefer Tehillim, which is ambiguous. It's not absolutely clear what this pasuk means. But the fact that it says over here, B'simcha es ponecha, ponecha means your ponim, which is an expression which means to greet. So since we have already established in Sefer Daniel, and we have already established in Sefer Yirmiyah that there is a principle of the Melech HaMashiach greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Therefore, we can assume, we can build upon that foundation and assume that when it says here in Tehillim an ambiguous pasuk of Es Panecha, which is an expression of greeting, we are also referring to the Melech HaMashiach greeting the Ribbono Shel Olam. And once this pasuk refers to the Melech HaMashiach, that is an indication that the entire Mizmah refers to the Melech HaMashiach. Okay, so Rashi is engaging in some type of drasha. We have an ambiguous pasuk. We don't know what it means. But we have legal precedent. We have two other books, Sefer Daniel, Sefer Yirmiyah, where there it's clear we are describing the times of Mashiach. And there we learn about a principle that the Melech HaMashiach will be mekabel the ponim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different terminology. So here, when we have this expression, and we don't know what this means, to say that this refers to David, what? David? What does this mean over here? In the press, not in Gan Eden.
Right.
So over here, David is going to greet Hashem in Gan Eden. According to Rashi, this first interpretation, everything until then, according to Rashi, was in reference to David HaMelech. So Rashi now got stuck. When Rashi comes to this pasuk, it says that you will grant David HaMelech blessings forever. You will grant him joy and simcha, es ponecha, when David HaMelech greets you in Gan Eden. Oh, wow. Where do we know this? David HaMelech is going to greet Hashem in Gan Eden. Where does this come from? That's not the style. Okay, listen, they're midrashim, but that's not something that's typical to find in Tehillim, that Klal Yisrael are going to compose a mizmor describing David HaMelech greeting Hashem in Gan Eden. This is not a typical concept. Therefore, a typical Rashi to understand the mizmor in such a fashion. So therefore, Rashi finally concedes maybe it would be better to learn this mizmor in reference to the Melech HaMashiach, and then we're able to understand what it means, this last pasuk of greeting Hashem, because we do have precedent for the Melech HaMashiach that he will greet Hashem in Sefer Daniel and in Sefer Yirmiyah. So now it's not so far-fetched to plug that concept into this as well, that the Melech HaMashiach in the flesh, alive with Klal Yisrael, will lead us in being mekabel the Pnei Melech HaMashiach in the return of the Melech HaMashiach will be mekabel the Pnei HaShechina in that time when Hashem will return. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Ches. Ki HaMelech Votech B'Hashem Uvches Elyon Baal Yimot. The Melech, which Melech? Again, the same Achleikus, either David or the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech has faith in Hashem Uvchesed Elyon. Here is a very, this is where it comes from, this kind, this expression Chesed Elyon. Okay, this is a very, very, it is a poetic expression that they write about people that are very generous. Well, the Chesed Elyon, he was so kind to me. He did with me not just Chesed Elyon. Baal Yimot, he must falter. Mitzvah Stavah Pasuk Ches. Bavur Shatia Bitchoine B'Hashem Lezel Lo Yimot. So that his faith will be in Hashem, he will not falter. He's not really saying very much. Let's say Rashi, Baal Yimot, the Chesed Elyon, Hubatech Shalom Yimot. With Chesed Elyon, the uppermost kindness, he has faith in Hashem that he, the Melech HaMashiach, will not falter. So it's teaching us another principle of Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach is a Boteach. Now this is very fascinating, especially when we're coming today after Acharon Shel Pesach, and it says V'hoyo Ezor Mosnov Emuna. It says that the Melech HaMashiach, his belt is Emunah. Ezer Chalotzov. The Ezor, the belt of his loins, is Emunah. Here, David, who is witnessing the same snapshot, or in the 21st century, you don't want to say the word snapshot, the same video clip, he doesn't want to say that he's witnessing the snapshot of the 20th century terminology. Today, 21st century, you have to say video clip of the Melech HaMashiach. He sees this vision of the Melech HaMashiach, Yeshaya says the Melech HaMashiach is Ezer Masnav, the belt of his loins is faith. And David says, no, it's not Emunah, it's Bitochoin. What's the chilek between Emunah and Bitochoin? This is the $6 million question. Anyone here want $6 million? This is the tough question. What exactly is the chilek between the two? And it's not so simple. The Chazon Ish, Zeich Tzadik Livracha, he has a whole section on this. What is the chilek between Emunah and Bitochoin? So the Chazon Ish, if I'm not mistaken, believes that Emunah is Emunah. I don't remember. I think Emunah is the concept.
Yeah,
and the Bitochoin is the practice.
Practical?
Is the practice. Do you believe in God? Of course. I have Emunah. Jump into the Yam. Yeshua bin Nun. Not Yeshua bin Nun. Kolev, who is the one who jumped into the Yam? Kolev? Nachshon. Nachshon ben Aminadav. Nachshon. Everyone in Klal Yisrael, do you believe in Hashem? Vayaminu b'Hashem. Vayamein ha'om. They have Emunah. Okay, have Emunah? Jump. Hashem said, jump into the Yam. Jump in. You go first. You go first. Oh!
But interesting, Rashi here is not, the word El Yom is not describing Chesed. El Yom is Chesed of the El Yom.
Who says?
That's how it's understood here.
Uve Chesed El Yom. Kuboteach of Hashem. Okay, very good. You see, good. Excellent. I didn't realize that. Uvechista di ilah, the le'el. Look at the targum. The kindness di ilah, nusach acher di le'ela. All right, sounds the same. Lo yizua. He will not shake. He will not falter. Okay, he's saying very good. What again? Go back to the mitzudos. In the mitzudos, when he talks about the chesed, he says uvechesed. What's the place over here? In the Mitzudos Pasuk Ches, Bavur Shetia Bitchoinoi Bahashem Bavur.
So what's backing him up?
That is Chesed Shui Bahashem. Uve Chesed, Lo Bavur Shetia Bitchoinoi Bahashem, Loze. Lozello, it sounds like what you're saying, Rabbi Chol. In the kindness of the Elyon, Ki HaMelech Boteach BaHashem, and I guess it means you have to repeat the word Boteach. I'm assuming that Rabbi Chol means to say, as we do very, very often in Nach, you have to repeat words. So in this passage, we have to repeat the word Boteach, Ki HaMelech, the Melech, he has faith BaHashem, and again, and he has faith in the Chesed of Hashem. Hashem here is called two titles. Number one, Hashem, and he's also called the Elyon. And David has faith in Hashem, and David has faith also in the Midos of Hashem, the Midah of Chesed, and that is what gives him the strength, Bal Yimot, that he will stay the course. He will not falter. It's because of my faith in you, that's why I was able to move forward and not falter. It's only because of my bitochoin. So again, we're describing over here now this is David, or it refers to Melech HaMashiach. Let's assume now that it refers to Melech HaMashiach and go back to the point I wanted to make before. In Perek Yud, in Yeshaya, we read on Nachlan Shal Pesach, when we described the concept that the Melech HaMashiach has faith, the word that was used was the Ezor Masnav Emunah. And the word bitochoin does not appear in Perek Yud in Sefer Yeshaya. It only appears here by David. What is the difference between the word bitochoin and emunah? So the Chazon Ish, if I'm not mistaken, says emunah is the concept. Bitochoin is the practical application of the concept. Okay, you have emunah. I believe. Put that into practice. Are you willing to take risks? Are you willing to have such faith in Hashem that you're willing to spend money, to put your money where your emunah is? Are you willing to jump into the Yam? Klal Yisrael by the Yam, they had a moon in Hashem, but did they have bitachon? Did they jump in? You go first. So it's very interesting that David, when he looks at the Melech HaMashiach, he doesn't just see emunah. He sees the Melech HaMashiach, he sees bitachon. Whereas Yeshaya, who lived much later than David, what does Yeshaya see? Yeshaya sees only emunah. It's very interesting. David, the greater you are, the more you can see. A very great person, you look at a person. So an average, so what do you see? What do you know? You see what you see. The greater you are, the more you see. The more depth you see in that individual. Yeshaya, he only saw in that snapshot of Mashiach and Muna. David was much greater. David was much earlier. When he saw Mashiach, he saw Bitochen. That's one approach. Another thing you have to also acknowledge is that, this goes back to what we said before, we're describing Mashiach. Yeshaya is describing Mashiach in the book of prophets, Mitzad Novi. David, if he composed this, this is a big dilemma, who composed this? If this mizmor was composed by David in reference to the Melech HaMashiach, he's using terminology knowing that this is part of Sifrei Kisuvim. And in Sifrei Kisuvim, what you write is not what you say. Hey, Rabbi Vayevsky is a public speaker, and he's a writer. So he knows that when he gives his drasha to his oilam, he uses a certain type of vocabulary. And when he comes on Mitzvah Shabbos, and he writes into the night, you don't use the same vocabulary you use when you spoke, right? You use a different vocabulary. A different vocabulary because the written word is not the same as the spoken word. This is the reality. So, I think this is a very fascinating, concept of you is to go and to compare. What?
Definitely the spoken word is sloppier.
The spoken word is. I disagree. I respectfully disagree. That's only when you're not prepared. When you're prepared for a major event, it's a different form of communication. It's a different form of communication. The way it goes over when you speak is not the way it goes over when you the written word. I know personally with my father, Zichron Levrach. My father, every Mitzvah Shabbos, he wrote over his drashas in shorthand, very, very, very makatsa. So after my father always had a dream of publishing his drashas. Always wanted to publish drashas. My father told me that in the later years, when he was in YU, he said, "There's no way I'm going to be able to do this now when I'm teaching YU." Because in YU, they were very tough at that point. They wanted the professors to publish, to produce. In the early years, they couldn't care less. Just teach the course and go home, do whatever you want. In the later years, no, my father already had tenure. In the later years, even after he had tenure, there was a new boss in town, and it was a whole new environment, a whole new avira. Whole new world, and they were very, very demanding. The tenure professors. They were very, very demanding. They wouldn't be happy if some of their professors, which almost half of them were rabbanim, by the way. Okay, and today they would never take a professor that has another job. They would never take never do that today. Today, this is your life. Kihem chayenu, v'yodech yameinu, but a lot of the professors, they were grandfathered in from a different era where they needed to make parnasa, and they had multiple jobs, and so after my father was nifter, so my sister, she decided she's going to publish the drashas. So I had a dispute with her. I said, you have to take every drasha, and they were written very bekitzer, and you have to mutzach. You have to work it over and present all the sources. Each drasha can make it to a whole chapter. And she said no, she just wants to write it out, you know, bekitzer, with the terminology that's on the page and with elaborate footnotes.
And of course she won the day, and she was and the product was much more concise, much more terse. You had to really but she was 1,000% right. 1,000% right. First of all, it never would have been done otherwise. And number two, the most common, the most frequent comment that I got from people who knew my father and listened to the drushas and read is, when I read the drushas, I hear him speaking. I heard this at least 20 times. When I read the drasha, I actually hear him speaking. Because it's his vocabulary, it's his spoken vocabulary, b'kitzer. And that's very true. It's an amazing thing. And when you, the divrei nevi'im were speeches. They were speeches. When you read the words of the Navi, you're supposed to imagine the Navi speaking to you. When you read Kisuvim, they're not speaking to you. You're reading information. You're reading Musa. There's an eloquent description of an event or something. And that's an entirely different experience. Therefore, this is a very interesting. We mentioned before Kavod. I don't know how to explain why when the Yeshaya, when he described the Melech HaMashiach, did he say the only place where he says the word Kavod is by Menucha. The Hoya saw, or the Hoya, I don't know what it says. The Hoya Menucha soy Kavod. Here it says, what about Kavod? Kavod Gadol Kevodai Bishua Secha. It's a whole different flavor. I don't know the difference. But this is something which is a little more intriguing to me, because here we want to talk about faith, the Midah of Emuna. So Yeshaya says, he says Emuna. He wears the belt of Emuna. And David says, what Emuna? I don't know. There's no word Emuna in this whole Mizmah by the Melech HaMashiach. He says, Ki HaMelech Boteach BaHashem. He has B'tochayim. So for most of us, what's the difference between the word bitochon and the word emuna? It all sounds the same to me. What's the difference? So the truth is, it's an extremely difficult topic. What is the difference? What is the difference? So the Chazon Ish, he has an idea. Not everyone necessarily agrees with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish has a mahalich. Emuna is a concept, and bitochon is the practical application of the concept. Just because you're familiar with the concept of emuna, it doesn't mean that you're willing to jump into the yam. The tochen is lemaisa. Okay, so now take that idea and try to differentiate between Yeshaya and David. That opens up a whole new world. Also, you have to take into consideration that Yeshaya was writing a book. He didn't even write the book. He gave a speech about the Melech HaMashiach. He got in front of Klal Yisrael and he gave over a speech. It was a keynote address at your local yeshiva dinner, and he told you about the Melech HaMashiach. And Vayehi Hayoyim, someone came along and they found the video and they put it in a book form. David is writing this as an ksuvim. He's not giving you, this is not a speech. This is put in book form. This is the second thing you have to take into consideration. And that's why they have different vocabulary. And the third thing you have to take into consideration is, David lived in a different world. David was closer to the Ovites. David's sanctity, you cannot deny the fact that the earlier prophets were more sacred, had a greater connection to the divine source than the later prophets. David HaMelech, David lived, David was David. Yeshaya, he lived in the middle of the Bayis Sheni. He came approximately 300 years after David. He lived in a later era. He lived in an era when there was already problems. Already the beginning of the Avodah Zarah was beginning to, take hold. He lived in a different era. Klal Yisrael was now on the way down, not on the way up. So he saw things differently, and that is reflected in their vocabulary. And when all these things come together, you have a whole challenge of trying to differentiate the different terminology.
All right, do we do the Rashi on this pasuk of Yom? Which is the Rashi of Yom? We did the Rashi tomorrow. We're going to pick up with pasuk Tes. Tomorrow we're going to pasuk Tes. Take a short break. I want to talk about today Chometz Sheovar Olav HaPesach, just a little bit, and then we'll talk about Sefiras Ha'omer.